everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. Hey, Dan, do you have a beating the odds story you want to share?
Because I know, like, with me growing up, when I was in elementary school, I was in an accident and I had to go to speech therapy. And I remember sitting in a room with teachers and my parents, and one of the educators had stated I'd have a hard time speaking in front of people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so they kind of said, like, I wouldn't be able to do presentations and stuff. So I remember, like, I was devastated as a kid hearing this, and I went to my room, and I would practice on these note cards, like, saying certain words. And it sounds silly, but, like, I would say things like esgetty instead of spaghetti.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I'd go to speech therapy, and one of the ways my parents would kind of get me to go was Dairy Queen had these, like, delicious tacos where I'm from in Texas, and so after speech therapy,
it's weird to hear Dairy Queen in food. I mean, I know they do, but it's just weird to hear Dairy Queen in food.
Yeah, out here, I don't think they really have food, but in Texas, they have, like, good tacos.
I remember getting, like, chicken nuggets kind of thing, like chicken dipper kind of things at Dairy Queens. But there's not even a whole lot of Dairy Queens out here anymore, so.
No, but yeah, so I did that, and then crazy story. So I then go on to college, and I kind of, like, wanted to run for leadership, but I didn't think, like, I'd win or anything, so I just kind of ran for, it's kind of like ASB, CBU, president. Well, I didn't win president. I won vice president. Mm. And so about a week before graduation, our president had stepped down. And so the dean at CBU had called me into his office, and he was like, Grijalva, we need you to be the president. Congratulations, you're now the president. So now you're speaking at graduation. And I said, what? And he's yeah, so you're going to be in front of thousands of people and I'm on a microphone. So anyways, I go to the graduation and I spoke in front of thousands of people on a microphone and was able to get through it. And then obviously became a school counselor and have a podcast with you. So that's kind of my beating the odds story. And then obviously growing up first generation college student and earning a basketball scholarship, I'd worked really hard just trying to get to college. So that's my story, and I hope it encourages people, like, if anyone ever tells you you can't do something, you know, just work really hard and try to get help if you need help.
I guess mine's a little different. My dad actually went to college and has a college degree, but he had a lot of help, and he doesn't really use it. So I really look at it as I am first generation because they didn't know how to help me do that kind of thing. So I was the first one to do that. Never had a doubt in my mind that I would go to college. Did the community college route first, watched a lot of my friends unfortunately not finish. I did. I'm actually one of the only ones of my friends that actually finished at a regular four-year university. So I guess that's kind of mine. And then my brothers just followed suit because they got to see what I did and just modified it. So they did it a little bit quicker than I did. It took me a little bit longer than it should have, 6 years instead of four, but I did it. So
yeah, and you became a role model.
Yeah. Went on to earn the teaching credential and I have a master's degree, so doing what we do. So I guess that's kind of it. And then podcasting, well, that's just kind of a hobby.
Yeah,
but
it's fun to do it with you. So thank you for all your help with this. And we're excited to have our interview with Michelle Obama's team, Stephanie and Marone. So we'll go ahead and share that interview with you guys.
And the next time we talk, we will discuss the Beating the Odds Summit that we had at our school. So that's on the next episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we're excited for the following podcast. We have someone from the California Student Aid Commission. His name is John Waldrop. I hope I said his name right. And he's going to share tips for educators on how to answer the tough questions that some of us may have when we're working with our kids on FAFSA or the California Dream Act.
Sounds good. Let's get to it, and we'll catch you next month.
If you guys can introduce yourself and your role with Reach Higher.
Sure. My name is Stephanie Sprout Owens, and I am the Director of Programming for Reach Higher at the Common App.
Hi, my name is Madon Hyla Meskel, and I am the Director of Communications and Digital here at Reach Higher at the Common App.
Where did you guys go to college, and what was your major?
I went to the University of Maryland College Park, where I majored in government and politics. One of the exciting things that I did while I was there is I discovered my love for women's studies. So I did get a certificate in women's studies, even though I knew I wanted to go into policy. One of my favorite things about college was discovering something totally brand new that I didn't even know existed in women's studies.
Nice. Awesome. I went to George Mason University, where I studied economics and business management. And I actually started off as a, you know, typical college kid who was thinking of going pre-med, double majoring in biology and psychology. But I mean, the beauty of college is you find your interests and your passions. And I was able to do that with economics.
Oh, wow. That's a huge change, huh?
I know.
We are big fans of Reach Higher on our campus. We promote it school-wide. And maybe you guys could share with us how you got involved with the Reach Higher initiative.
Sure. So I was one of the very first Reach Higher employees, so to speak. This is Stephanie. While I was working at the U.S. Department of Education under Secretary Arne Duncan and President Barack Obama, Mrs. Obama came to Secretary Duncan, who was a good friend of hers, and told him that he wanted to get involved in education somehow. She wanted to lend her voice to, you know, encouraging students to do well in school and, you know, what should she be doing? And so They had a couple of conversations, and of course, Secretary Duncan told her that Mrs. Obama could do anything that she wanted to do for students or for schools. Just let him know, and we would make it happen. And so they thought about a couple of different things at the time. Pre-K was a big deal around that time. That was a big issue that folks were talking about across the country. A lot of people were talking about student loans at the time. But the thing that really resonated with her and that rose to the top was talking about college access and the idea of being a first-generation college student. So Mrs. Obama was a first-generation student. She had the potential of being a student who was undermatched. She talks often about her time at her school where, you know, she didn't have a lot of college exposure. You know, the internet wasn't a thing then.
Right. And yeah.
The way that she learned about Princeton was that her brother went there, and he was recruited to play basketball there. So it really resonated with her that there were students, you know, in our country who had potential to do so much but didn't really have the access or the means or even just the know-how to figure out where to go to college, how to pay for college, and what to do. And so since that story was so much her story, she really did want to take that and go with it. Reach Higher was supposed to just be a few events. That we had our first event at a high school in Washington, D.C., and it was a lot of fun, and she did a really amazing job doing it, that she said, let's do another one. And of course, our team said, great, let's do it. I was working at the time with Eric Waldo on this, our current executive director. Mm-hmm. So we did another event. It was a FAFSA event, and that also went really great. And then we said, you know what, I think we should make this a real initiative and to do a real thing. And so that was how the initiative was born out of her office. I believe it was her fourth initiative. And it really did bring together all of the college access work that we were already doing at the Department of Education, mostly led by Greg Darnieter, who was also on our team for a while. And we've just grown from there. Now we've moved over to the Common App now that the Obama administration is over. President Obama and Mrs. Obama both said they wanted to continue to work in this space. So we are very excited that we still get the opportunity to do it. And I think that she really does enjoy this work, talking to students, trying to help students to navigate the college process. And then also now as a mom herself of students who are in college and are going to college, she can see it from that standpoint as well.
Yeah, that's great. And how about Marone? How did you get involved with Reach Higher?
Yeah, so my journey actually started my senior year of college. I got invited to attend the Reach Higher's College Opportunity Summit by Young Invincibles. And that was really my first exposure to the work that Mrs. Obama and the Reach Higher team has been doing in the college access space. But that has always been something that I've been passionate about as a first generation college student. So getting to, you know, find experiences that allowed me to work on those issues was really important to me. During that year, I was also an intern at the Department of Education, so I also got to learn a little bit more in that front. And then the following year, during my first year of my grad program, I decided to apply to become an intern at the White House. I never in a million years thought I would get it. And I got really lucky and was selected to be an intern for Reach Higher and for Eric and Steph and Greg during the final year of the Obama White House. And that was truly an incredible experience. And as you could tell, I loved the team and the work that I was able to do during my internship. And that just kind of led to where I am today.
Yeah, and that's a rare experience. So that's awesome that you were able to join their team.
Yeah.
Stephanie, you're also a host on a podcast. It's a great podcast. I listen to it. It helps educators or anyone who loves educational stories. Can you share a little bit about how that got started?
Yeah, thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. So our podcast is called Swamped. That's SWAMPED. We came up with the name because it was going to be the stories about education that come straight from the swamp, meaning DC and the federal government. It's definitely a proverbial swamp. We don't see it as a bad thing, but a lot of folks call DC the swamp even before our sort of current times. I grew up here, and the sort of stories is that DC was built on top of a swamp, and you can feel it, especially this time of year.
So humid, yeah.
Yes. So it is very humid outside right now in August, so you feel that swampiness. But one of the things that we wanted to do with the podcast was to demystify the swamp also, and to make it a lot less scary for a lot of folks. So Eric and Kyle, who are my co-hosts, really wanted to also highlight the great things that people were doing when we were at the White House. All three of us worked at the White House at some point. We had an event in a series called Champions of Change. And it was just a really great way for us outside of education, but also in education, to highlight the people who are doing lots of things in their community to be true champions of making change, really highlighting that small things make a really big difference in the lives of others, that you don't have to run for office or be a celebrity or be rich or famous to do things in your communities. And after we left the White House, obviously you don't get to do that quite as much. But we wanted to continue to be able to do that with the education world and show folks that you really don't have to be a part of the swamp or a part of the political class to make differences in your community and differences in education for students. So there's no real secret about how the three of us feel about the current political climate and the current administration that's in power right now. So it is an opportunity for us to talk about what folks are doing sort of outside of, you know, what we sort of think is of being toxic for students and for teachers and for educational communities. It gives us a chance to highlight those folks who are actually doing some other things throughout the country that not just that we necessarily agree with. I don't want to make it seem like we only bring on our friends, but just highlighting some of those things that are now getting missed in the conversations at the national level in education policy. It's been a ton of fun being on it. I get to learn so much every single week that we host a podcast. We've learned a lot of things about even international education. And so it's not just focused on the United States, but definitely there's stuff about local policy as well as federal policy. And every episode, we are able to talk about ways that folks can get involved in their own communities with education. So you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Swamped Pod. And you can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and also on Google Podcasts. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, so you guys should check it out. It's a great podcast. If you ever have time, you should at least listen to some of their episodes or all of them. You guys also did a Beating the Odds Summit recently with Michelle Obama. And I know you've done that for the past, is it 5 years?
Yeah.
Can you share with our listeners what that is and how it got started?
Sure. So our very first Beating the Odds was in July of 2014. We invited 12 students from across the country for what's called an off the record or an OTR. And that's just sort of, you know, political speak essentially for an event that is, you know, not on the books. The media is not invited. It's not something that's open to the press or open to the public necessarily. It's a meeting that is truly off the record. And so we invited these 12 students from all across the country, from Chicago, from Vermont, from Pennsylvania, Washington State, San Antonio, a real swath of the country. students who had overcome some really tremendous challenges, from homelessness to foster care to addiction, who had made the commitment to continue their education past high school. One, who made the commitment to graduate. These were students who, on paper, many people would probably say had, you know, maybe a less than 50-50 chance of high school graduation, let alone going on to college. But they made the commitment to go on to college, and they were all venturing off to college that coming fall. We decided to do that sort of small event, mostly because Mrs. Obama wanted to talk to some real students. We always hear stories about students who had overcome these challenges, from homelessness to Harvard. And she said, I know that there are more than just, you know, a couple of students who are doing this every year who get highlighted in the newspaper. I'd like to talk to some of them and just see, one, to congratulate them on what they've done, to remind them of all that they really have overcome, that they are worthy of, one, believing in themselves and of going to college, but wanting to just shine that spotlight on them. But then, two, wanted to share some of what, you know, she had learned, too, and being one of these students who had overcome some challenges to go off to college. So that was how the event was born. And it was such an amazing, awesome, fun event. It was by far my favorite event of the entire time I was with the Obamas, and I've been with them now for over 10 years. But, you know, it has since grown. After that first event, we decided that we had to do something bigger, that we had to bring in some more students who had also overcome some of these challenges, and that we wanted to use technology as best as we could to bring this event to the general public. So the following year, we invited about 130, 120 kids to come to the White House from all across the country. They were nominated by CBOs and other organizations that were sort of more local to send their students to the White House for this event. So it was a day-long event at the White House where they received some conversations with some education leaders and some fun folks. They got a performance by a performing artist that year, but they also were able to listen to a panel with Mrs. Obama at the White House and have some workshops during the end of the day to help them to be more prepared and acclimated to go off to college. One of the things that we really did want to focus on was the idea of summer melt. And make sure that students had the resources that they needed so that they would be ready for the first day of school, so that they would not melt, as we say. So that was important to her as well. And so since then, again, we've decided to keep doing this even since leaving the White House. So we had the first three were at the White House, and then the remaining have been sort of off campus, so to speak. This past year, we hosted it at Howard University, which is here in Washington, D.C., and we had about 90 students who were able to join us. So it's been really, really fun to do this. Every year, we meet new students who have really made this commitment to not only their education, but to supporting other students behind them to make sure that they, too, can beat the odds and be recognized for it.
Yeah, and you guys always do an amazing job. It's on YouTube if you guys ever want to see any of their Beating the Odds Summit. I believe it's on the Better Make Room YouTube channel, correct?
Yes, if you go to youtube.com/BetterMakeRoom, we have a lot of our videos from Beating the Odds and other events. And actually, a little plug for something that's coming out on September 4th is a learning playlist. So we did take down the live stream for this year's Beating the Odds because we created two small mini episodes covering a range of topics, from financial aid to finding your community to mentorships. So we're excited for that to come out on September 4th and hope it serves as a resource for students.
And do you have any tips on how educators can start a Beating the Odds Summit and where they can go to maybe find like a toolkit or something they can use as a resource?
Yeah, so you can download a toolkit that we've created about Beating the Odds. You can go to www.reachhire.org/host-an-event. That's reachhire.org/host-an-event. You can host this event at your schools or in your communities. I think what's most important is that you do make it your own. There's no one size fits all to any of the events that we host or encourage others to host. But I think what's most important about the Beating the Odds Summit is that you are helping students to overcome this idea of summer melt. I think it's so easy for students to give up. And I don't mean that in any kind of pejorative way, but we put so many roadblocks in front of students in the process to apply to college, in the process to get their financial aid, in the process of acceptance, and then over the summer in the process of actually getting to a college campus, whether that be a four-year institution or even a two-year institution. There's just so many students who I've talked to both in passing, just in my regular sort of everyday life, but then also, of course, through our work where it just isn't easy. And not that I think that students want to give up, but if you keep hearing no every, you know, turn that you make, or if you can't find the answers, or if you get sticker shock when you realize that you've accepted to go to this great school and you're super excited for it, and then you find out how much it costs for your books or how much it costs for your meal plan, I mean, that is jarring. And I can fully understand why a student would say, you know, college is not for me. Clearly it's not for me, because if it was for me, it wouldn't be this hard. I think we all make those decisions in lots of things in life. And so we need to make sure that we are giving students the support that they need once the school year has ended. And I think the best way to really do that is when hosting these events, whether you're at the college level or if you're at the high school level, or if you are a CBO that's working with high school students, just making sure that students have someone who they can talk to ask them some of these questions. There's lots of questions that students have about going to college. And most of those questions, or at least many of those questions, I think one person probably doesn't have the answer to them. At the high school level, you probably don't know all the ins and outs of every college campus where some of your students are going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the college level, you may not have all of the answers for some of the places where your students are going to be coming from. But more than anything, what I think our students need and what we need to make sure that we're reminding them of is that, you know, this is tough. This is a lot that we're asking students to do. It's okay to have their hand held still at this point. It's okay to not know all of the answers. It's okay to ask questions, and just making sure that they realize that just because they have questions doesn't mean that they don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's important that in those moments that we connect the incoming students with students who are either already on campus or already in the community who have, you know, gone through these same things. There's lots of stuff that we as adults can tell kids to do, but it's very different when that information is coming from one of their peers, and that they can know, like, yeah, I went through this. Yes, it was a hard transition.
Right.
Yes, I didn't have all the answers. No, I had no idea what I was doing on the first day. But that means something very different when it's coming from someone who's their age, who's been in their shoes, and coming from an adult. So like I said, there is a toolkit online at reachhigher.org. But really, I think the most important thing about hosting a Beating the Odds Summit is making sure that our students know that, one, what they are doing does deserve to be celebrated. Two, that, yes, it is hard. And it is hard for every single person who's going off to college, whether it be up the street or across the country. It is hard, it is new, it is scary, but that all of that is real, and that we should embrace that fear and just keep pushing forward. And then also just making sure that there is someone who those students can talk to, both during this transition and also once they get on campus, to get some of their questions answered. And that can be anyone from a parent to a teacher to a former coach, to a friend who, again, maybe doesn't have all of the answers at their fingertips, but can help those students to find those answers, make some phone calls if they need some help, look some things up online, and just being a reassuring ear and shoulder to cry on sometimes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if anybody ever needs help, we've been holding Beating the Odds Summits, and we're able to help anybody if they need, like, an invitation sample or a flyer sample, questions our students have asked. You can reach out to us at Reach Higher Riverside, and we'll help you out with that. But we're really excited because this year we're going to host our September 6th, mm-hmm. and we have a great panel of guests. We combine it with the Reach Higher Club and the Avid program, so the students work together and helping with the questions and decorating and all that. So I think it's really important to tag team and find your group of people on campus to help you with it. What would you guys say as far as, like, questions. Do you guys have an open-ended questions, or do you have the questions ahead of time?
This is one of those where it's good to have your students help to lead some of that charge. It's funny, I don't think of myself as being that old, but it really has been a long time since I went off to college. And so when I think about the things that made me nervous, some of that stuff doesn't even exist anymore. You know, we didn't have laptops, so I was worried about losing a notebook, and that isn't, you know, I would be really worried about losing my laptop on campus. So I think it's good for it to be student driven. I also think that it's really great to make students feel empowered in this process. So I always encourage folks to get their students involved. But that being said, in the toolkit, we do share some topics that you should cover, some questions that you should either ask your students or ask yourselves before planning it. Like, you know, what language are students speaking on college campuses that most of our high school students don't know? For instance, we don't use the word bursar pretty much anywhere except for on a college campus. But the bursar's office is really important. Do college students know what that is? Do students know where to go? The FAFSA, we all know, is lots of jargon that is very specific to the college process that most people really don't use in everyday language. Do students know what they need to do with the FAFSA? Do they know that they need to reapply every year to continue to receive their money, and that they need to do that on October 1st? And then also with that it's much easier to do the second, third, fourth time around than that first time. So don't be intimidated by it. Just go in and do it and take care of it as soon as possible. Some of those basics, I think, are really important. Do students know about office hours? That's a big one. It's so much different than high school that they need to recognize that they may have to do some things differently than what they did in high school. I oftentimes share with students that I was a good student, especially in high school. I really liked school, so I really enjoyed going to school. So going to college wasn't scary for me from that standpoint. I was confident that I could do the academics. I was doing something that I loved, so that wasn't the hard part for me. But it was one of the first times that I really had to be responsible for myself. And I will never forget the very first time that I woke up late for class. And it was a real eye-opener that one, no one was going to wake me up. I had to do that myself. But two, that no one was going to call home to find out where I was. No one was going to call me to check up on me. They were just going to mark me absent, and that was it. And I had to make a decision. Do you want to use an unexcused absence right now because you're late and you're not going to be able to get to class? Or what are you going to do differently the next time so that you don't wake up late? That was a real defining moment for me in college because I realized, one, how much freedom I had, but I also recognized the consequences of using that freedom. I think those are some of those things we have to talk to students about, too. This isn't high school anymore. You are going to be treated like an adult, whether you're at a community college or at a certificate program or at a four-year big research university. You are going to be a little fish in a big pond. And how do we make sure that we help them to recognize, again, that that's okay, but that you have to own that. You have to learn from your mistakes because you are going to make mistakes, but that's okay. You've got to get up and brush yourself off because you can do it. You do belong. All of the fears that you have, other students have too. They're just hiding it better than you are.
I'm actually looking at the toolkit right now, and I was kind of scrolling through as you were talking and saw a bunch of different things here, and it really is a bunch of questions that students don't think about or know, because a lot of times we have kids take their classes, complete their classes, get their grades, apply to college, apply to financial aid, they graduate, and it's like, good luck, rather than spending any time going over and figuring out, you know, about something as simple as you got to fill out a health form, or do you know the difference between a chancellor and a dean? What is the bursar? Do you know there's a financial aid office? Do you know there's a career center? Things like that. So I think this is kind of neat. And it's really simple. The toolkit itself is really simple. It's basically just a PowerPoint presentation, but it's a lot of information within that PowerPoint presentation. So I think that was kind of neat. And it's got next steps. Here's your, you know, kind of step-by-step, graphic heavy, of course. It's kind of neat. I think it can be useful if you've never done this.
And use it as a starting point.
Right.
Use it to kind of guide some of the questions that you have, especially at the high school level. I would you know, reach out to students who are just finishing their first year of college and have a lot of this experience fresh in their mind and are able to share things that they wish they knew when they started school. It looks like you guys were already doing this, but inviting them back to speak to students, I think that's one of the most powerful things, is having first-gen students hear from other first-gen students or college students and have them come back to their communities and serve as almost like a mentor to these students as they make that transition, which is really difficult. And a lot of students don't even know which questions to ask. Yeah. So that is one of the most important things, is figuring out what are things that I can do to support my students as they make this transition. And sometimes some of those things are unique to just your community, to the schools in your area. But a lot of times there are things such as the topics mentioned in the toolkit, from, you know, Office of Financial Aid to making sure that you have healthcare or on campus that students don't even realize that they should have, that need to be addressed. So yeah. I would start off by using it as kind of like a guide and then just go from there and empower your students to kind of share their questions and have recent grads come back and share just about their experience.
And then just having representation from different groups, because everyone has a different pathway. So Absolutely. We try to like have like the military come, community college, university, a transfer from a community college to a university. Mm-hmm. So just making sure all groups are represented.
And that's something that we emphasize too, that, you know, just college isn't just going to a university. It's finding what's right for you. So that could be going to community college, it could be joining the military, it could be getting a trade or vocational certificate, university. So having, you know, students who have pursued different paths come back and share their experience, which is really unique in whichever path they choose, is important.
And there's a great article, I believe Marone just wrote it. It was a Forbes article about beating the odds. So we'll post that on our YouTube channel so you guys could check it out. We also tweeted it out recently, but we'll retweet it again. But you guys could share about Michelle Obama, because I know she continues to inspire people. What was your favorite Michelle Obama moment?
This is Stephanie. I have a lot of moments. Yeah, to be honest. It sounds like I'm totally sucking up to my boss, but I will say one of the things that I just really love and appreciate about her is that she is very accessible. I will never forget the very first time that I had a meeting with her. I, like most people would probably assume, was nervous about it. It was probably one of the first meetings where I practiced for it. And I really just had to sit in the room and listen for the most part. But I remember exactly what I wore. I remember where I sat in her office. It was an old dress, and I have given it away, but for a long time I held on to it because it was my Michelle Obama dress. But what I think a lot of people experience with her, and what I definitely experienced with her, was after about 5 minutes, all of those fears just melted away. And I appreciate very, very much that she is a real person, and she likes being a real person. You know, to a certain degree, celebrity and fame is new to her. And so she hasn't had time to become a diva or to become a celebrity and to have this, you know, this superstar status. She just is Michelle Obama. She's the same person she was when I met her. She's the same person from what I hear from folks who knew her before she became the first lady. She was the same person as she was as a student in Chicago. And that impacts me a lot as a woman, as a career woman, as a wife, as a girlfriend. It is nice to see that there's this other person who could be totally different, totally untouchable, doesn't want to interact with people, doesn't want to talk to people, only wants to do photo ops. And that's not who she is at all. She really believes in this work. She believes that her voice can help make a difference. And that's why she does it. If she didn't think that she was helpful in this space, she wouldn't do it. She would try to find something else to do where she could make her impact. But I think she sees so much that what she's doing here in this space is so real to her, but that it's so real to so many other students, and that her voice really is making a difference. Whether it be big or small, depending upon who you are, she's making a difference. And that, so that's a lot of moments of Michelle Obama, but it truly is my favorite thing about being on this team, about working with the folks of us who were here, and just being able to share that with her and work with her on this subject.
Yeah, she sounds so humble and genuine.
There it is.
How about you? How about you, Maron? Do you have a favorite moment or many favorite moments, I'm sure?
Yeah, there are so many moments. I would say one of my favorite things is just kind of seeing students meet her for the first time, since a lot of them are, you know, just really nervous or and really excited. And then seeing their faces light up as soon as she walks into the room, and the conversations that come out of those meetings with Mr. Obama is extremely powerful. And the thing is, she loves young people. She loves talking to students. She loves, you know, hearing their stories, talking about real things and issues that are impacting them in their communities and on their journey through higher education. And so what you see and what you hear her talk about through all of her initiatives is real. That's the kind of person that she is. And for me, being able to kind of work on issues in higher education and having such an incredible role model and just well-liked by everybody, being there to kind of take the lead and guide students and serve as that inspiration is so powerful.
Yeah, and our two students that met her recently, and one of them was sharing, like, when she first walked into the room and Michelle Obama and all the celebrities, she was like, do I belong here? I don't think I belong in this room. Because she, I mean, we work in a community that's low income and they don't get those opportunities. And she was just sharing, like, how grateful she was and how Michelle Obama just really inspired her. So, yeah, we're very grateful for you guys, and we appreciate all your hard work. And at the end, we like to go to the Sunshine Spotlight. So if you could share at least one thing that made you happy this past week.
Yeah, that's a great question. So this past weekend, I actually was going dorm shopping with my youngest sister, who is getting ready to go off to college. So getting to kind of go through that experience and knowing that she also has, you know, myself and my other sister, Naomi, to kind of guide her through the college process, which was really exciting. So we were doing all of the like dorm shopping, and next week she's gonna actually move onto campus, which I'm really excited about. That was just really cool, but also crazy, knowing that I remember her being so young and seeing how fast time flies.
Oh.
So I'm excited about her getting to kind of pursue her dreams and start college soon. So that was a really surreal moment.
And it's awesome that she has you as a mentor. So she's very fortunate. How about you, Stephanie?
So this weekend was really, really fun. On a personal note, my cousin is starting her first week at college this, I guess this week is her orientation. And so she is going to school here in the Washington, D.C. area. And like I said earlier, I grew up here. So we decided as a family to make this a bit of a family reunion. And so a lot of my cousins came into town while she, you know, she moved in from Los Angeles. So we had folks from all over the country, from Ohio, from L.A., from San Francisco, where else? I think from New York came down. And that was a lot of fun. And it reminded me of the sort of the power of education and how it brings folks together. So that was my sunshine moment of just being around family. Because she was going off to college, we did a bunch of stuff about college, and we talked about some of our favorite college stories, sort of both academically and socially. And it just reminded me sort of why we do the work that we do, that college is so much more than what you learn in the classroom, but it helps you to build relationships. It gets you ready for life. It is about being in the classroom too. So we had a lot of conversations about make sure you do your studies, but it was just a really great moment to be with family and to also just have a lot of fun towards the end of the summer. So that was my spotlight for the week.
How about you, Dan?
Actually, I think you'll find this one kind of interesting. What I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years, I'm an avid coordinator and an avid teacher. And I actually did today was I do have former students come in and speak to my current students about a variety of topics. Today happened to be a group of students who just graduated in June, and the topics were kind of they're put into small groups, and they get like two or three graduates with a group of like, you know, 8 to 10 students. And it's just a forum. It's a free forum for them to ask any kind of thing that they're wondering about. So questions always come up about the SAT, how they handled the application process, how they handled this class, that class, as they're looking into, you know, getting into application seasons themselves. And then later I'll do it where it is students who've done first, second, third year of college who start bringing up those kind of things. Hey, no, you got to visit the health office, and this is how I handled this, and this is who I talked to about this. I'm looking into this internship. I'm looking into studying abroad here. Here's where the office is. And so as we kind of went through this whole thing talking about the Beating the Odds Summit, and I've done, you know, a couple of them with Priscilla, but I didn't realize I'm kind of doing a mini one in my own classroom. And it was completely unintentional. It was just something some students had asked me a few years ago. Hey, can we come talk to your students about this? And I was like, yes. And it was a hit, and I've just been doing it ever since. I do it 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I meant to pop in, but it's been so crazy because it's been the first week of school, and you just have like lines and helping a lot of people. So I was bummed I missed it. I didn't get to pop in his class today. But for me, I guess our principal, he just emailed yesterday this great article. We were, I believe, fiber selected nationwide, and Norte Vista won an award for exceptional college and career focus, which is our 10-year plan that we do once a month. And the teachers will stop what they're doing, I believe it's fourth period, and they will teach a college or career lesson, and everybody gets the same lesson. So one of our coordinators, she stated, we did a freshman skills week where we brought in different teachers who taught different skills to our freshmen, like how to change a tire, mm-hmm. how to do laundry, how to cook in a dorm. And this was our best moment of the year. So they learn like the basic stuff they need in college and or their career. And then we also implemented the Reach Higher Fairs in the curriculum this year, the Reach Higher Initiative, and the Up Next, and different things that would really help our students understand that college is not just a university, it's career technical education and community college, and just sharing that with the kids and the staff. So when they teach the lesson campus-wide, everybody's getting the same lesson. And then, of course, you know, the teachers can spin it and make it their own, but the core stuff they're getting. But I'm just really grateful for the team at Norte Vista. They've done a great job, and they won this award. So congratulations to Norte Vista.
Congrats. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, we really appreciate you guys so much. We love you, and we continue your work at our site. And we would just like to thank you so much for being part of our podcast. If you could just share or say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Thanks, you guys, so much. We really love the support that you all give to us. You all have been major rock stars of Reach Higher for a long, 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 long time. So thank you so much for really putting some feet on the work that we're doing. So have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, absolutely. Everyone.
Really thank appreciate you. Your support.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.